Mama y compañeras, sisters and brothers, it is through our oppression, pain, and suffering that we are mere images of one another. A war is being waged on our bodies, our lands, and our nations, from supply and demand for the rise of command of imperialist name brands and U.S. military stations. Sensationalism of insatiable visions of too many males impels and impels our struggle for true equality. Barbie idolatry leading us to Barbie ideologies, leaving us out to die from eating disorders and or sweatshop occupations. So now, where are the warriors that we once were? Where is Gabriela, who fought alongside Diego? Where is Malinche, all of whom drove out the Spanish when Uncle Sam was on his way to hand you NAFTA and to me APEC? Because both Presidents Estrada and Cedillo got American dog collars around their necks, trained to sit, heal, and stay. Well, today, let me tell you, she is in the Subcomandante Ramona. She is in Ca Juliet. She is the peasant woman whose basic rights have gone unmet. She is engaged in tribal warfares against the fascist regime in the Cordilleras. She is down the street from here celebrating her quinceañera. She rallies in Nickerson Gardens, is picking asparagus up in Stockton, and not too far away, she organizes strawberry workers in Watsonville. She works in the factories and in the sugar mills below minimum wage. She is sitting in the audience, she's performing up on stage. She is chanting, imperialismo y bugsock. She is chanting, EZLN. And she is fighting the revolution, breastfeeding two babies and still holding up half the sky. And that is why, my casama y compañeras, sisters and brothers, it is through our histories and eventual victories that we are mere images of one another.
Good evening and welcome to Bread and Roses, a weekly feminist news and public affairs program. I am Jennifer Lavender, your host and the Portland Radical Women organizer. Radical Women is a socialist feminist organization dedicated to training women for leading revolutionary movements. You can check us out at www.radicalwomen.org. You just heard Mirror Images from L.A. Encanto by Faith Santia, a collective of poets from Los Angeles. And played that song because, or that piece, because tonight I will be talking with Muffy Sunday, longtime labor activist and representative for Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party in the Los Angeles March 25th Coalition. If you are interested in keeping a vibrant feminist voice on the air, you can join the Bread and Roses Collective by calling Chris DeMaria at 503-777-2301. Some local activities that you may be interested in tonight: BCAB Ebony Ball featuring Dead Prez and local DJs is at happening from 9 p.m. to 2 a.m. at the Wonder Ballroom, 128 Northeast Russell in Portland. 18 and over, there is a full bar. It's an $8 admission price, and you can call 503-725-5660 for more information. Radical Women sponsors monthly meetings, and coming up this Wednesday, May 24th at 6:30 p.m., there's a special video showing of Walkout. This movie is the stirring true story of Chicano students in East Los Angeles who in 1968 called several dramatic walkouts in their high schools to protest academic prejudice and terrible school conditions. The young activists battled bureaucrats, the police, and public opinion to make their point and win the support of their parents, the Latino community, and groups like the Black Panther Party. After the video, there will be time to discuss recent organizing for immigrant rights by students in Portland and around the country. And if you get there at 6 p.m., there's a Mexican supper with a vegetarian option for a sliding scale of $6 to $10. And it's all happening at the Bread and Roses Center, 819 North Killingsworth in Portland. Again, that's Wednesday, May 24th at 6:30 p.m. And you can call 503-240-4462 for more information. And on June 10th, Radical Women will be sponsoring a clinic defense picket from 8:30 to 10:30 a.m. at the Northwest Lovejoy Surges Center. And you can meet up at Northwest Lovejoy in 25th, I believe, but you can call 503-240-4462 for more information. That is Saturday, June 10th. And moving on, I am Jennifer Lavender, your host and the Portland Radical Women organizer, and you are listening to Bread and Roses, a weekly feminist news and public affairs program. Our guest tonight is Muffy Sunday, longtime labor activist and representative of Radical Women in the Freedom Socialist Party in the Los Angeles March 25th Coalition. The March 25th Coalition was formed as an ad hoc group of activists who had most recently organized counter-protests against the fascist Minutemen at the U.S.-Mexico border and decided to mobilize against the Sensenbrenner bill. Welcome, Muffy. Hello, Muffy.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, I can now.
Oh, good.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
How are things in Portland?
It's a little rainy, but that's okay, because Portland needs rain after 90-degree weather.
Oh, Los Angeles never gets rain after 90-degree weather.
So I just was telling our listeners that who the March 25th Coalition was and mm-hmm. how it formed originally to organize counter-protests against the fascist Minutemen and mm-hmm. also decided to mobilize against the Sensenbrenner bill. And I wanted to find out what current organizing is being done or what else has the March 25th Coalition done?
Well, let me just back up a minute. Actually, the March 25th Coalition organized the March 25th demonstrations in downtown Los Angeles, which, although it didn't exist as the March 25th Coalition at the time, the people in it, many of them were the people who called out to go to the border
okay.
and protest. I'm sure you guys have all seen examples of the neo-Nazi Minutemen. And we picketed them in Campo, California, and in Calexico, California. And then when the Sensenbrenner bill passed, and it looked like it was headed for the Senate, some of the organizers from that called for a mass demonstration. And in 2.5 weeks, they mobilized close to 2 million people in downtown Los Angeles to protest the Sensenbrenner bill and to call for no walls at the border at all. And this really shocked the world. No one's seen 2 million people at a demonstration, at least not in the United States,
right.
that anybody's heard of. And following that victory, they immediately called for a May 1st boycott. In other words, to revive the tradition of May Day on May 1st and to have people not work, not buy, not sell, and not go to school, which was kind of a shock. The movements weren't used to that down here, and there was an immediate battle over whether or not it would be right to skip work, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, there ended up being two marches, one during the day of people who'd left work and left school, which we participated in as the March 25th Coalition, of about 1 million or 1.5 million people, and another march led by people who wanted to be more, compromising in the other direction, and who are made up of people who primarily support Kennedy McCain legislation. They oppose the Sensenbrenner bill, but support legislation that includes a Bracero program and various, quote, paths to citizenship, unquote. And so there were two demonstrations. There were probably a total of 3 million people in the streets on May 1st in Los Angeles. And then what we're doing now is our next action, which I'm actually really proud of, we're going to picket the offices of Senators Feinstein and Boxer on Tuesday because they support the Hagel-Martinez bill, which includes a Bracero program, which is legalized slavery, building up the border, adding 16,000 troops at the border, and they're marketing this as giving people a path to citizenship.
Mm-hmm.
Our position is no compromise, that basically people who are here with documents or not deserve immediate amnesty, and that we should open the border in order to keep immigrants safe.
And that's the position of the coalition or of radical women?
Radical women and the Freedom Socialist Party call for opening the border. Actually, the coalition hasn't gone that far, but they're closer than anyone else we've ever worked with on this subject. They call for full trade union rights for undocumented workers, for complete amnesty, for no border walls, and they're calling for, if people have been in the country for 3 years or more, an end to the statute of limitations so that they're no longer considered undocumented. And their logic is that there's a statute of limitations on everything else.
Right.
Why for what's basically a misdemeanor should this remain a crime for the rest of your life?
So, Muffy, what kind of coalition is the March 25th coalition? Is it different unions? Like, what's the composition of this coalition?
It's pretty huge. There's over 100 organizations. Of the people who are active, we have Hermandad Mexicana Latinoamericana, which is a huge organization in Southern California, all over California, as a matter of fact, which represents undocumented workers when they don't have unions.
Right.
Basically, and they're the only NGO I know of that gets no funding. They do private fundraising. They don't get any government funding because they've made the government so mad and they refuse to abide by the rules. A lot of socialist groups, as you are probably not surprised, Freedom Socialist Party, Radical Women, some unions, although most unions are in another coalition that works closely with the Democratic Party. There's a lot of grassroots Mexicano and Latin American neighborhood councils and groups from all over Los Angeles. And in Los Angeles, this is a big deal. These represent hundreds and hundreds of thousands of people, people who don't get to see them quoted on the mainstream press because they're not big NGOs and they're not big unions, but they represent people from Michoacan, people from various states in Mexico, people from parts of Central and South America. It's really an interesting and very rank-and-file grassroots groups. Day laborers organizations are part of it, as well as people who were part of the original organizing for the walkouts in 1968. It's kind of a very large and broad group.
And it sounds very grassroots and very militant and radical in a lot of ways.
It is actually in Los Angeles probably we're the only. I don't know about all the other cities. But in Los Angeles, this split in the movement that's been bubbling up under the surface actually has come out full bore, and it came out before May 1st because we were calling for a walkout and because we were calling for no compromise on this legislation.
Radical women in the Freedom Socialist Party in this city also were a part of that of the organizing here for the May Day celebrations.
Mm-hmm.
And that was also not as clearly a debate, but it certainly started here. What were we asking people to do? And I think part of what happened was that there was not clear directions from the national body that called for this in the first place, because it called it the Great American Walkout or boycott, but at the same time in Spanish it actually was saying strike is what my understanding was.
Right.
So I think that there was confusion from the start about what really this national call was for, and I think that led to some people to claim the day who weren't in favor of striking, and others who were in favor to claim the day as this is a walkout. I do want to let callers know that you can call in tonight with your questions, opinions. This is a movement that is all of ours, and we need to be participating in the discussion about where it goes from here because it has such shining potential. And you can do that by calling 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. So, Muffy, you were talking a little bit about the split that has been bubbling during the pre-May Day organizing, and I think it's becoming more abrupt, at least in this city, it's becoming more abrupt post-May Day.
There's no doubt of that. I think that the reason it bubbled up so fast and so early in Los Angeles is Los Angeles really is ground zero for the immigrant rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
When 15% of the workforce here is supposedly undocumented, and when a lot of the actual official labor movement here are led by people who are immigrants or the children of immigrants representing immigrant workers, and they were actually put quite on the spot. Because on the one hand, they represent some of the most militant sections of organized labor. On the other hand, they are very tied to the Democratic Party, and they don't want to embarrass the Democratic Party.
Right.
And you have the church here, the Catholic Church, which is a huge influence, who traditionally opposes really immigrant-bashing legislation, but isn't calling for an open border, let me tell you. And the immigrant rights non-governmental organizations in this town are enormous. They're huge. They're big political players because of the huge size of the immigrant community. And then there's also a huge rank and file and grassroots. And we would, of course, prefer to have one unified demonstration and one unified march. But it got to the point where we would characterize it as a power fight over the emerging numbers.
Right.
And I don't think that what's called, quote, the We Are America coalition, unquote, we're scrambling to maintain control of the movement because March 25th shocked and frightened them.
Right. I think that's a really, March 25th. I know.
I mean, so they had to do something before May Day.
Right.
To split it.
Mm-hmm. I think I want to talk a little bit about what Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party are calling for so that we can also look at what are some of the other calls in the movement mm-hmm. for which way to go for this movement. And you had mentioned earlier, you know, open borders, mm-hmm. Amnesty Now, which is basically wiping out any possibility for criminal prosecution.
Right.
And making people, Amnesty Now, also making people citizens on the spot.
Yes. It's basically unconditional amnesty.
Mm-hmm.
And that's as opposed to these 12-year-long hoops that include, you know, applying for a job, paying a fine, get deported if you're unemployed for 60 days, all of these hoops that are designed to not work for people.
Right.
Unconditional amnesty. Of course, that's the position of the coalition. What we also call for, though, we call for opening the border, because the immigration issue isn't going to go away as long as U.S.-based trade policies have wrecked the economies of Central and South America.
Right.
And these are workers. If capital gets to move across borders, we see no reason that workers shouldn't be able to move across borders. Capital and capitalism designed those borders in order to keep people desperate and insecure and scrambling to feed their families. And removing the border is a good first step. The other thing we call for that no one else has called for is respecting and nurturing and cultivating and looking for the leadership of women.
Mm-hmm.
This is an issue that in this movement, if you go to these meetings, you will see that the work is being done by women, just like it was in the civil rights movement, in the anti-war movement, in the lesbian and gay movement. All through it, and we call for that leadership to get recognized and for the impact of immigration policies on women to be openly discussed and openly acknowledged, because not unlike anywhere else, women are affected most adversely by the border.
Right.
It's not, why should it be any different than it is anywhere else in the world?
Right.
That we've raised the issue that the border is very connected to the murders of the women in hundreds of women in Juarez.
Right.
It's not the women trying to get across the border that are criminals. It's the corporations who build these maquiladoras and keep people basically prisoners and take no responsibility for the murders. If there were no border there, or we had amnesty for people who'd gotten across the border, they wouldn't be forced to work in these horrible places.
Right.
Anyway, that's something we raised that no one else has raised so far.
And I think another important point is the need for a united front,
mm-hmm.
which is democratic. People are bound by agreement on some basic principles of the group, yet are free at the same time to speak their own politics and their own solutions to the movement. So coming together around basic understanding of principles and allowing free speech within that united front, and that includes, you know, working people, unionists, feminists, radicals, queers, mm-hmm. immigrants, everyone who is interested in fighting on this issue.
Right.
And so that's sort of what I think. I'd love to hear what callers think, if they think that sounds like a good idea. And you can do that by calling 503-231-8187. But I think what you talked about a little bit earlier, Muffy, was really important for us to discuss, is that there is, when people come out in numbers and they show a proclivity to engage with and embrace radical ideas, feminist ideas, socialist ideas, there gets to be a lot of antsy pants about how to control that energy, especially by, you know, you were talking about the sort of alliance there in LA of the church and the NGOs and the Catholic Church and labor bureaucrats basically mm-hmm. coming together to figure out how do we keep a lid on this energy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is happening here in Portland also. I think when people saw the embracing of radical women, I got to speak for radical women on May Day, and people were wild for a feminist, a white feminist, to be on the stage in solidarity talking about the particular issues of immigrant women, and also talking about bringing this capitalist system down. And mm-hmm. I had to stop regularly, and people were just explosive with excitement. Mm-hmm. And I want us to talk about this more, but we do have a caller. And caller, you are on the air.
Hi there. I just want to thank you for having the topic on the air and to be talking about the issue, particularly with the votes that are happening daily on amendments to Sensenbrenner-type legislation.
Right.
I wanted to make a certain point about some of the ways that we talk about the issue, and I think what's happened historically in the recent history of immigration reform in this country, that the word amnesty has gotten used, which to me, and, you know, historically within our movement recently, we've recognized, I've done immigrant rights work all my life. I'm a Chicana, and I think by using the word amnesty, we're giving a misnomer to what is really being called for. And I know it's a point of semantics, but I think that in our movement, we've really called for legalization, which implies that people are here because they're here contributing and here to make a contribution, and not that they're criminals. And so that was one point, and I think that the other point is to really let the immigrant movement, for the most part, set their direction and tone, which you're right. Immigrant women are women that are leading the struggle right now, and to have their voices clearly be the, you know, predominant voice. And I know that there were Latino women there that were immigrants in the status of being undocumented, and they were speaking loudly for their community, and I felt that that was a really proud moment for Portland's history, that women were the principal spokespeople in the day that way, that represented our struggle. So thanks for the show.
You're welcome.
Mm-hmm.
And Muffy, did you want to say anything about amnesty?
Well, you know, there is that connotation with the word,
mm-hmm.
The implication that people have done something wrong,
mm-hmm.
but as far as a term that covers everybody and makes it blanket, it's the best that we've come up with. I don't object to immediate legalization, except for that it implies people are illegal, and that's, I mean, so maybe it is semantics. Our point is immediate citizenship to anybody who wants it, I guess, basically.
Right.
On the question of immigrants leading the movement, immigrants do lead the movement in Los Angeles, and I'm sure around the country. But I do want to add to that nobody wins these battles by themselves. Mm-hmm. And we brought to the coalition what Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party, who have been here for 30 years, we brought suggestions for diversifying the rallies and the movements themselves, particularly to diversify to involve more women and the African-American community, because the African-American community in Los Angeles is key because, first of all, it's been so under attack for the last, as long as I can remember, from the police and everybody else. And right-wingers in Los Angeles are attempting to recruit African-Americans in opposition to immigrants on the grounds that these guys want things you don't have either. And so we had more black speakers at this rally and fairly radical black speakers than at the May 1st rally than in March 21st and out March 25th. And out there is now a black Latino roundtable working on ways that people can combine issues. And we consider that a real victory. The other thing is that as unionists and feminists, we have a voice there because the same system that is right now immigrant bashing has its roots in a system that is that basically trashes and devalues all women, are you know, essentially clinic bombers and gay bashers. And bringing speakers in that represent that, we think only strengthens the movement. But yes, you're right. The movement is basically led by immigrants and immigrant rights organizations. It's just that we all have a place in it.
I think that's an important point, that we all have a place in it, because it is like the feminist movement not recognizing that men are half of the population and they need to be feminists, not just women, because there's no way that women are going to win equal rights if they are not in solidarity with males. And I think that that's something that's emerging here in Portland, is this whole call for let the immigrant community lead this without accountability to other organizations, other independent activists, to the movement, basically, that this is the essence of what's happening here in Portland. I know there's been a lot of, for the organizing that Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party have been doing in the Immigrant Rights Coalition here, we definitely brought a lot of the same elements that you talked about, which was an African-American speaker was on the stage at, at our May Day because of the importance we put on that. And he was one of the most popular speakers that day because of the solidarity that he brought from the black community to that rally, but also the history of Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party in political organizing and fighting the right wing. That for you've talked about the Minutemen, and then here in Oregon there's been attacks on bilingualism for years. So I think those are some of the things that our organizations bring, but I think what also is emerging is what kind of movement are we going to have? Is it democratic, or is it going to be appointed by immigrant rights organizations that are mostly immigrants, NGOs, and those NGOs are often got limitations on what they can do because they're funded by governments and grants, government grants. So, I mean, these are some issues that we need to be debating right now. What is this movement going to be like? Are we going to be accountable to each other? Is it going to be democratic? Are we going to let people speak their minds? And I have two callers on the line, so we will go to them. Hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well. This is Shizuko. I was one of the organizers on the Immigrant Rights Coalition for May Day, along with the May Day Coalition. I just wanted to bring up some points as far as points that you've brought up as far as other organizations having a place in organizing and sort of the limitations of immigrant rights groups because they're accountable to the government. And I just wanted to say, first of all, the Voice for Workers' Rights Education Project, one of the NGOs that you're talking about, they received calls the day after and the day of the Immigrant Rights Coalition, the day of May Day, saying, you know, what's going on? We don't feel like our interests are being represented up there. And this is coming from the Latino community, folks who are making calls. And so I think it is important to realize that there needs to be a diversity on stage, but when the diversity doesn't represent the major interests of the 20,000 to 30,000 people that were on the streets in Portland, I think that's criticism that we need to take, and we don't need to point fingers, but we need to say, who are we representing, and who are we putting at the forefront of this movement, and who are we allowing, you know, the voices to come forward on? And I think the example that you gave, you know, that there was a little bit of pushback from the program committee of the Immigrant Rights Coalition to having a, you know, a white woman speaker speaking on issues of, you know, immigrant rights. I think during that meeting there was a suggestion to put an immigrant woman there to speak on those issues, and I know that was pushed back. And so I think it is important to realize that we need to be building strong alliances, but I think when it comes to the movement, we need to be putting the people whose voices resonate the most with this movement at the forefront. And so I do believe and agree that it needs to be democratic, but I think that other organizations, and I know there are several organizations working within this coalition that have understood that their role is a role of an ally. And they're not saying, you know, we're just going to follow you, but we're consciously making the effort to take a step back and sort of let you guys lead. And, you know, if there's something wrong, then we'll definitely call you on it. But, you know, this is your movement, and we're here as allies. We're not here to tell you what the movement is. We're not here to tell you where to go. And I think that's really important, because I think that, I'm concerned that the Immigrant Rights Coalition and movement in Portland is being portrayed as one that isn't inclusive, and I very strongly disagree with that.
I wanted to ask you a couple of questions, Shizuko. You're talking about a few calls coming in on the day of and day before, May Day.
Day after, yes.
And there were, as you said, 20 to 30 and likely upwards of that in the streets. And I'm just wondering what the volume of calls were to the VOS office.
I'm not sure. I just know that the two organizers at VOS, when we did a follow-up meeting for the May Day Coalition to do an assessment of the event, said that they were concerned that there had been a high level of calls, and even calls coming in from Salem, with people saying, we're sort of listening on KBOO and what's going on. And I'm not saying that I'm not saying that the roster of folks at the May Day rally were terrible. I think that they were great, but I think it provides us a learning opportunity to say, you know what I mean? It's like we can talk about, you know, if those folks were great or not. I think the crowd agreed that they were great, but we can do better, and that's what I'm saying. We can do better, and in the future we need to look at putting the voices of the people who are most affected up there.
Okay, so and that was my other point, is that there was a long speakers list that had a lot of immigrants, both ones that were put forward by VOS and PCASC, and they had lots of good things to say. So there was no absence of immigrants on that stage. What there would have been an absence of was feminists and African Americans and socialists, if there hadn't been a program committee that was willing to work with all the different groups that were involved in organizing that May Day march and rally. And I think that when you say better, I don't know what that means. I think you need to delineate what better means. But I think what needs to be discussed in the Portland movement and in the national movement is who's, are we going to be a democratic movement? Do we, you know, does the Immigrant Rights Coalition in Portland get to say, well, you can be a part of this, but you can't? And without any criteria, mm-hmm. On what basis does someone be allowed to work on immigrant rights in Portland? And that's the question here and nationally. Whose movement is it? Is it NGOs? Is it the Catholic Church? Is it labor bureaucrats? Is it the Democrats? Who gets to call those shots?
Could I add something about what
happened
in Los Angeles? We were part of the planning for this demonstration since the beginning, and on the good side, our coalition has the radicals, and by that I mean it's the people who aren't interested in compromise and tinkering with bills that are basically the only good thing that could happen to them is to go into the toilet. just like the Patriot Act. You can't amend some things. But that doesn't mean that there weren't issues that came up, and primarily what came up was cultural nationalism, which is that in Los Angeles that Mexicans were more important than anybody else in the movement, and sexism, which it's not unfamiliar and it's not unique to this movement, and radical women challenged this a lot, and we took on battles, and we had a speaker from Radical Women, and we consciously chose Wendy McPherson, who's a white woman and a lesbian, and we chose her for some very specific reasons, even though we have immigrants in our organizations, and one of the representatives to our coalition has been at the border fighting Nazis and is a child of immigrants. We chose Wendy because she, unlike most people in their unions, took on the union bureaucracy and forced debate and brought unions into the fold of this coalition when most of them were heading for the one headed by the bureaucrats, who has gotten her union to endorse the fight against the Minutemen and brought them delegations of labor people when no labor union would come near it. And we thought she had earned the right to speak, number one, as a legitimate builder of this movement. The second thing is, when she spoke saying women needed to lead the movement and called for socialism, she's talking to a million people, and it brought down the house.
Right.
And what we learned, we realized when we got back to our meeting after, we didn't know what the leadership of our coalition was going to do. It was like a transformation. We'd missed a meeting. People, we were afraid you weren't coming back. Mm-hmm. They were thrilled because they're in a power fight with people who represent the essentially conservative wing of the immigrant rights movement.
Right.
And they've staked out territory, and they appreciated what she did. And so I really learned, I think not only did we learn something, but in a movement and a coalition that's full of grassroots immigrant women, they really appreciated it. And they didn't mind her, obviously, first speech in Spanish and English. They appreciated the support.
Shizuka, are you still on the line?
I am.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just, I think it's really important that within any movement that you have a radical section of the movement that is pushing it forward and pushing change within the movement. I don't disagree with that. And I'm the example that you gave has been really, really great and important, but what I think is really important is for those elements not to be unaccountable to the movement. And I think when things are done and said that put people, and I'm not talking about, now I'm sort of moving beyond the May Day and talking about the organizing in general, because what's going on, it's so last minute and it's so huge and has the potential to do such sweeping, to make such sweeping changes. And, it's probably, the Senate bill is probably going to happen or be passed before Memorial Day. So there are huge changes that are going on. And what I want is to make sure that we're all accountable to each other and that we're not putting each other in places that are dangerous for each other. Does that make sense? So I just want, I think it needs to go both ways. The accountability needs to go both ways. And instead of saying, you guys are the right wing of the immigrant rights movement, it's like, you guys have legitimate issues that we need to reach out to you as allies in and change those things, not from a an offensive sort of, clash, but sort of like, let's talk about feminism within the immigrant rights coalition or sort of the immigrant rights movement and what that means, but build instead of pointing fingers and saying, you guys are sexist, you guys are racist, and then just sort of leaving it at that and feeling good about ourselves in the end, but not actually changing or accomplishing any change. You know, we can call ourselves radicals, but that isn't really, at times that isn't strategic. We need to think strategically, and we need to, we just really need to think long term about this and not worry over who's more radical than who at what time, because in the end, the movement's moving forward and we need to do the day-to-day work. And in the end, it doesn't matter who calls themselves what, it's about the work that's being done.
I don't remember saying that we called for yelling at people that they were sexist pigs and leaving it like that. And actually, I don't remember we've ever done that. We have told guys to stop interrupting all the women in the meetings. We don't do that in public.
Muffy, I think I know she's not actually talking about LA, what she's talking about is that, and I find this really interesting, is that there's this call for accountability, but when there was issues of sexism and some nationalism and some racism going on, which the behaviors were characterized that way,
mm-hmm.
Then there was a shutdown and that, the you know, a basically ushering out of radical women, Freedom Socialist Party, from the Immigrant Rights Coalition because there was a disagreement that those people should be characterize, have their behavior characterized for what it was, mm-hmm. and held accountable for that. And I think that you can't have it both ways. You can't say, yes, we're going to be accountable, but you can't tell us when we're being sexist, mm-hmm. or racist or nationalist. I mean, this, I'm sorry, that's not accountability.
Mm-hmm. And people are free to disagree with you, but say you're punished for raising issues,
right,
that are important. See, if the movement doesn't solve this problem of democracy and internal divisions on the basis of race, sex, and, pardon the expression, class, it will not succeed.
Right.
We have a bunch of movements in the past that have failed because of that.
Right.
They have compromised with the Democrats so that they let them run the movement and make their decisions for them, and they've driven out women leaders, or, in the case of the women's movement, a lot of it doesn't prioritize women of color. In the case of some ethnic movements, don't prioritize working with everyone. And these movements fail because of that. It's that important.
Right. Shizuka, we have another caller. I really want to thank you for calling in and sharing your thoughts with us.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And Muffy, we've got 20 minutes to cover so much, and we have another caller.
Good.
But I want to make sure, maybe after this caller, that we talk about some of what's happening and what's, you know, some of this legislation and what can we be doing.
Okay.
Okay, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is John.
Hi, John.
Hey, I want to thank you for having this topic. I have several Hispanic friends, and some of which whom have had incredible struggles to make it where they're at today.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess my question is just for the your guest. She made a statement that she's calling for citizenship for everyone, and I guess. My question is, what's the precedence? What other country on this world has ever done that? And how economically feasible would such a thing be?
Okay. Muffy?
Well, I don't know if
hello. I can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
No, I cannot.
Okay. Jen, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I think it might be that you just can't hear. You're not going to be able to hear it.
I apologize. I'm on a cell phone.
Okay.
Traffic.
Well, if you want to take the answer off the air, you can do that and call back.
I would just like to say one thing. I have a company, and within my company, we have a Canadian outfit that's actually a sister, mm-hmm. company, and I've been struggling to get a work visa in Canada for the last 6 months, and. So I guess my question is, you know, what other country on this planet allows people just move on in, you know, and I think my answer out there. Thanks.
Thank you.
I actually can answer that.
Yes, go for it, please.
Well, one place I know is that the Venezuelan government has offered everyone dual citizenship because there are many people fleeing war all over the rest of the South American continent,
mm-hmm.
to and into Venezuela where they're not targeted by death squads,
mm-hmm.
and there's some basic social services. And the fact that there aren't tons of other countries doing it means it just all that means is that these countries have capitalist economies, and you can't the capitalism will not survive long if borders are open, because workers will be free to organize across borders or across what used to be borders. When you ask about the economic impact, it's economic impact for whom, I ask. Do you mean Microsoft might not make money or Halliburton might not make money? This actually doesn't bother me very much.
Well, and I think it also begs the question of the U.S. is exporting its corporate, mm-hmm. monopolies of different, economies, where the heck are people supposed to go? I mean, so where it's an open door outwards, but it's shut when you're trying to come in.
In Mexico, for example, if we had an open border, the fear of deportation would be gone and workers would be free to organize for better wages. Mm-hmm. And they could work on either side of the border, so there wouldn't be any motivation for capital to leave because they could organize in Mexico as well.
I want to just remind listeners that you are listening to Bread and Roses, which is a weekly news and feminist weekly news and public affairs program. Mm-hmm. I am Jennifer Lavender, your host and Portland Radical Women organizer, and I have on the air with me tonight Muffy Sunday, who is a longtime labor activist and representative of Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party in the Los Angeles March 25th Coalition. The March 25th Coalition brought out 2 million people on March 25th against the Sensenbrenner Bill, which is a highly racist and criminalization of immigrants. Mm-hmm. And you are welcome to call in tonight, 503-231-8187. That was 503-231-8187 with your opinions and your disagreements. Mm-hmm. And we have next on the air, I believe, Peter. Hello, Peter.
Hello, are you there?
Yes, we are. Welcome. What's up?
Well, I've been listening to the show, and I watched closely and did some of the organizing around the Immigrant Rights Coalition, and I guess I find it a little bit emblematic of some of the problems that left organizations have had interacting with mass movements in the history of the United States, in that radical women in the FSP, you said earlier that it was because of radical women that there was a feminist voice on the stage, and I think it's problematic when organizations of the left sit in a room primarily of immigrants and tell that room full of immigrants that they're sexist and racist, as though this immigrant movement itself is not capable of being a part of developing a feminist analysis, or as though there aren't feminists within that movement itself. But to say that radical women is the one that has to bring socialism or feminism to this movement, I think kind of reflects a broader problem in terms of the left's approach to the working class and mass movements. So I kind of wanted to flag that concern and see what your response was.
Well, I guess my question would be to you is that would there have been a feminist or a socialist voice if there wasn't the existence of Radical Women, the Freedom Socialist Party, in the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition? And from everything I saw in that organizing, that wasn't going to happen unless we stood up for that right.
I think my response to that is that it may be a difference in how we look at ideology and look at movements. I think a mistake that the left has made is looking at the working class in motion and expecting it to consciously articulate the ideals of socialism and feminism and anti-racism in the ways that the textbooks have written it, without understanding that movement is a process that changes and moves people, and understanding that it is the process of movement itself that clarifies some of these things. So when we assume that this move, I think there's a role for the left and a role for organizations to intervene and to support the movement, but I think it's really dangerous when we come to this movement and say, all you immigrants, you don't get it. And without us, there wouldn't have been a feminist on stage. And without us, there wouldn't have been a voice for socialism on stage. Because I will argue that this movement, the working class elements of it that are driving it, is a movement that has the components of a longing for socialism within it. And that to say to immigrant women within this movement that without us there would be no voice for feminism is an incredibly dangerous and dismissive argument to make to the immigrant women that, like you said, are driving that movement.
One second, Muffy. Mm-hmm. I think what you are confusing is the movement and the Immigrant Rights Coalition. Those are two different things. The movement is larger than the Immigrant Rights Coalition. The Immigrant Rights Coalition is where I said there would have been an absence of a feminist or socialist analysis. I agree. I think the movement is way beyond the leadership mm-hmm. of the Immigrant Rights Coalition. They are ready to talk mm-hmm. about bringing down capitalism. They are ready to talk about women's rights and how immigration is hitting women the hardest. being an undocumented woman worker in this country, you have no rights. And when you started, if you are a documented worker, you already have less rights than everyone else. But you take away that documentation, you are at the will and whim of every backwards boss, everybody. You are at the lowest of the low. So I agree with you. There is a definite embracement of getting rid of this system and feminism, but not in the leadership of the Portland Immigrant Rights Coalition. Go ahead, Muffin.
Well, I was going to say that we would have been thrilled if other people had been willing to use their speaking slots to say that the capitalist system is responsible for the problems. But we would have fought for their right to if they had wanted to, but they didn't. And there are other leftists who chose to not say that in this coalition, and there are leftists in groups full of immigrants who chose, and we said it. We would have been really, really thrilled if other feminists had fought for the stage. But I wanted to tell you that when we called for a labor and feminist contingent in this march, which we organized through Radical Women, we were really blown away. We were joined by Code Pink, an anti-war group. We were joined by 50 women from Planned Parenthood, most of them Latinas and many of them immigrants, who were just thrilled that we had organized this particular contingent. And our chance, you should have seen people up seven stories of buildings that were closed because of the garment district shutdown, packing the stairways. As we chanted, they were echoing off the buildings. We had an impact way beyond our numbers because we chose that particular theme, which people were hungry to hear. And so we introduced it, and we would, you know, if there had been 10 feminist speakers, I would have been really thrilled.
Okay. Did you have anything else, Peter?
I'm sorry. I couldn't really hear much of what Muffy said, but I think the point that I just wanted to articulate is that what I hear the radical women saying is that without the radical women, there would be no feminist analysis in this movement. And without radical women, there would be no analysis of racism in this movement. And I think that assessment itself is what I see as problematic.
I think I just actually clarified for you that that's not what I'm saying. And I'll say it again. I am saying that the leadership of the Immigrant Rights Coalition lacks in a feminist and socialist analysis, and I think that's what Radical Women and the Freedom Socialist Party brought to the Immigrant Rights Coalition before it was undemocratically decided to not allow us to participate anymore. And that the movement, which is not the same thing as the Immigrant Rights Coalition,
got that,
is very much embracing those ideals. And so are you clear now on what the difference is?
I'm clear with what you're saying. I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Wow. We got 9 minutes left.
Did you want to talk about the
I sort of do, but we have another caller.
Okay. I like callers.
Jennifer, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, guys?
Good. And who are you?
I'm Jennifer. I'm a Portland Radical Women member, and I'm this conversation is really exciting. I wanted to say hi to Muffy, too.
Hi there.
Good to hear your voice on the air.
Mm-hmm.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, I can barely hear you.
Oh, okay.
I just wanted to point out, yeah, the last two callers, I feel like without really trying to put them on the spot, but I feel like they're pointing out a problem among the left and among a lot of movements is a fear of really addressing sexism and racism and sort of pushing those issues to the side and saying, oh, well, let's deal with the other task at hand, whatever that may be, and deal with those things later and not really address them mm-hmm. at the time. And mm-hmm. that's just something, like, I've seen historically in so many movements, you know, that so much that I've studied about movements, that happens, and that doesn't get us anywhere. We still have excessive amounts of racism and sexism everywhere in the world, and I think that sort of fear of wanting to really talk about those issues and wanting to avoid them and being afraid of conflict is what has prohibited us from really getting anywhere. So I'm really excited, but I don't know, that it was just it was really interesting to see those issues come up again. And I guess just to point out also that if we don't deal if we don't deal directly with sexism and racism, nothing is ever going to change.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if you all want to respond to that at all. But,
yeah. Yeah. Muffy, you, well, I agree. I think that it is exciting to have these debates too, because you learn from debate. You get people to clarify their positions.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard some very interesting things from Shizuko and Peter, who were part of, and they still are, because it has been deemed that they are okay to be part of the Immigrant Rights Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important to have these debates, because they are educational to both sides, and things mm-hmm. become clearer. And we can't shy away from things that are going to make everything clearer so that we can move forward.
Yeah.
Could I
yeah.
wanted to, on that, there's a quote from Audre Lorde that I've always really liked. You can't use the master's tools to dismantle the master's house.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, racism, sexism, homophobia, red baiting, and Anglo baiting are tools given by the bosses to keep us divided. And if we use them on each other, we won't build a movement. What I'm really happy about in Los Angeles is that although these problems aren't solved,
mm-hmm.
the fact that we were so determined in raising them all the time while we were helping to build the rally really resonated with a lot of people in the coalition, and they saw the response from the people at the demonstration. And so the coalition is now trying to organize itself so that there's more accountability, there's a structure, and that there's gender equity and chairing meetings and stuff, because that wasn't the case beforehand. And so we think that that it's changeable, partly because, you know, the situation is so dire. And although we had strong criticisms of the organizers of this coalition, they were on the right side politically on the legislation. They were willing to break with hundreds of millions of dollars of political influence in order to fight for what was right. And I think that's one of the reasons that they were more willing to listen when they got criticism on the basis of being sexist or not inclusive or being not considering of other ethnic communities, that they're up against a huge battle with misleaders who are trying to convince people that bills that are in the hopper right now, this one now includes an English only, they just voted to make English the national language, to construct more border wall and send more troops to the border, that somehow these bills are, quote, on the right road.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can an organization, a labor union like SEIU and Unite Here, claim that a Bracero program, which in the 50s we called it Slaves for Rent,
yeah,
how can they say that this is a step in the right direction? And the fact that immigrant rights NGOs in this town are supporting it is criminal.
I think that's a really important point. And I think here in Portland, what never happened in the Immigrant Rights Coalition before it started down this road of
mm-hmm.
Being undemocratic is that there was never a clear discussion about what is it that we are coming together under. Are we
yeah.
coming together because we want to say no to this bill and yes to another bill?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was just, it sort of happened a little bit too, mm-hmm. not, it wasn't the speed, it was that there just was not discussion, even though it was raised that we should be talking about where there are points of unity.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that we are agreeing to do together? Are we just agreeing to do May Day together?
Mm-hmm.
What, and under what banner are
yep.
we agreeing that? That we are supporting guest worker bills, or that we're just going to say no to this bill? I mean, that I don't think had enough clarity, enough discussion. And I think that's why it can become easy to say, well, you know, what you're saying is not what we agree with. And that you can only do that if you are unwilling to define what it is that you actually are for.
Yeah. I wanted to also point out the value. As a feminist, it's always valuable to have men step up and say, I support feminism.
Right.
And for example, my compañero from Portland, Eduardo Martinez Zapata, mm-hmm. came to the border with us to Campo out in 140-degree heat on the border where you get to really see the border wall and why people die in the desert to mm-hmm. protest the Minutemen.
Mm-hmm.
And our comrade, Juisa Jimeno, wouldn't have been allowed to speak at that rally had he not intervened.
Right.
To say that she's the only woman of color. You have had no women of color speak.
Right.
And his support is what made it happen.
Right.
And white people have the same responsibility to defend people of color, but actually people of color have a responsibility to defend white people who are speaking in the movement, as I was defended in that coalition by people of color for my right to be there.
And Muffy, we have no time left. I want to say, Jen, are you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I guess she's gone. Okay, I wanted to thank her for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Muffy, we obviously have to do this again because
We
didn't even get to half of what we wanted mm-hmm. to discuss. But mm-hmm. I so appreciate you calling and giving an update on what's happening in Los Angeles, and mm-hmm. we'll talk again soon.
And talk about what to do about your own liberal leadership that's in Washington brokering away the rights of immigrants. Picketing their offices is a good idea.
Okay. All right. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
And I want to encourage everyone to stay tuned for JJ. I had down earlier that it was Essence of Soul, but I don't think that that is true. But you should stay tuned at 7 o'clock for JJ. And he is going to play some great tunes. I want to thank our brilliant engineer, Christy Maria, with her assistant, Leanne Kranz. And please stay tuned next week for another edition of Bread and Roses. Every week, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m., Feminist News and Public Affairs. I'm Jennifer Lavender. Have a great night.